So I prayed for help. Perhaps, God, there was a purpose in this that was meaningful. It was one of the earliest prayers I've ever said. And I found this catalyst, a way to channel this incredible superpower that I had through music. Music was my Ritalin.
Hey yo, busy brain. Welcome to my podcast. I am Camden Hainsworth, ADHD advocate, coach, and member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Understanding my own ADHD diagnosis completely changed the course of my life for the better. Now it is my mission and joy to provide you with the tools to do the same. Join me weekly. Let's create real results that work with your neurodivergence and reflect a confident life of self-acceptance, growth, and satisfaction. Welcome to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. Let's get growing. Hey there, fabulous busy brains. How's it going? I am genuinely thrilled to have you here for another episode of the Busy Brain Saint. You press play, and that's awesome today because we are in for an absolute treat. Our guest needs no grand introductions, but I'll do my best to capture the essence of this extraordinary individual. Stephen Sharp Nelson is an award-winning, Billboard chart-topping YouTube rock star, but with a cello in hand. You probably know him from his work as a cellist in The Piano Guys. His creative content is streamed over 3 million times every single day. That is absolutely mind-blowing to me. But Stephen's story is more than just platinum records and iconic concert halls. He's not just a musical genius, he's a master of many realms, a TED speaker, a performer for the President of the United States, a dad, and a connoisseur of Thai food. In today's episode, I get to talk with Stephen. You'll get to know a mix of his playful, professional, and spiritual self. Alongside with his love for storytelling, comical moments, and impressive musicianship, Stephen trustingly shares with us a bit of his ADHD journey, including intimate details of his teenage diagnosis that he's never shared publicly before. He also highlights a great list of some ADHD church hacks that he's picked up during his time in 5 different bishoprics. What makes this episode truly special is Stephen's unwavering faith in Jesus Christ. His recent keynote at one of the biggest ADHD conferences in the world showcased not just his challenges with ADHD, but how he's turned it into a superpower. And trust me, his passion might just convince you too that ADHD is actually a gift. I must admit, speaking with Stephen was an absolute blessing. I felt a mix of nerves and excitement. Especially when in true ADHD fashion, I momentarily blanked on his last name. Yet Stephen's warmth and his encouragement turned that moment into a lesson about embracing our humanity, embracing our ADHD. And so for you listeners, in all of its imperfection and vulnerability, I kept it in. So without further ado, let's dive into my conversation with this incredible, award-winning musical maestro, Stephen Sharp Nelson. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the episode. I'm so happy that you are here. My brain is busy and my heart is full. Today, we have a very, very special guest, and I'm so excited to introduce you to him. I first saw Stephen Sharp. Forgot your last name. Stephen.
No.
Nelson.
That's a great way to start on an ADHD podcast. We have a great guest. I don't know what his name is.
Okay, let's try again.
No,
all right.
No, you need to keep that. That's perfect.
Obviously, I've been a fan of the Piano Guys for a while now. Specifically, the Christmas album has been well visited in my home. But in addition to that, it was so fun to see you present at the Faith Matters Restore Conference. And you spoke about burnout. And I was like, this is my man. He gets it. He understands burnout. And then you started talking further and further and you started mentioning that you had ADHD. And I was like, this is really my man. This is my guy. Like, it was so validating to hear about burnout, to hear about ADHD from a very, you know, a pretty large stage. And then to find out that you were presenting at the ADHD conference in Baltimore this year. It was just such a beautiful series of events to lead us to talk today. So thank you for being here, Stephen.
My pleasure, Camden. I love talking about ADHD. It's my superpower. I credit many of the successes I've had to its gifts and pros. And so this is just really fun for me to be able to talk about this, especially in the context of spirituality. I've done a lot of keynotes and podcasts, and I've written a great deal of material on ADHD, but to speak about it in a spiritual context is especially enjoyable. I was remembering the Faith Matters conference, though I went on stage. I had to use the restroom, and they had a restroom that was like on way on the other side of this vast room that had thousands of people in it. And I walked around the back while somebody else was presenting before I was going to present. And I saw all these people pacing in the back. And I wanted to go up to each and every one of them and give them a hug and just say, "Hi, I'm Stephen Sharp Nelson, and I'm one of you."
Yeah.
I just thought, man, it's a great place to feel empathy is sometimes in the back of the room. We talk about being a front row participant, but you know what? Sometimes in the back, there's a great deal of empathy, and there's a great deal of pain and suffering and joy and all kinds of mixed emotions. And so I just remember, it wasn't part of my presentation, but I just remember getting on that stage and I was like, I need to give a shout out to my people pacing in the back. I'm with you. Like, I'm so excited for you that you even made it here and that you showed up, because honestly, with the gift that we have, sometimes showing up is 90% accomplished in a day.
You're right. You're right. Dr. Hallowell often talks about it. No, it was Barclay, about it not being a disorder of knowing, but a disorder of doing. You know, knowing where we will feel peace, knowing where we will feel community, but actually doing it and getting up and going is the harder part. So yeah. I love that. If I wasn't here on stage, I'd be back there with you pacing, listening.
And that's okay. Thanks for showing up is basically what I said to him.
Could you start us out with your start into ADHD when you were diagnosed, how that went down?
So when I was in elementary school, junior high, approaching junior high, which is the armpit of life, you know, the vast ball of insecurity where all of us question our existence time and time again. And fake sick as much as possible. At least that was my story. Yeah, it was kind of miserable for me. And elementary school was an experience where teachers were relatively understanding of my constant need to be up and about. But junior high is when the brakes were slammed on that compassion and long suffering. And it was impatience. I was met with impatience and intolerance. Mm. So my dad came to me and he was really worried about me, genuinely was worried about me. My dad was a very traditional education pursuing man that was very concerned about us having success within our educational pursuits. He saw that my grades were not doing well. And that really was a big worry for him. He saw that my friendships were rocky. You know, I couldn't retain friends very well because I would constantly annoy them with my hyperactivity and inattentiveness and forgetfulness. And so he came to me and he said, I still remember, he's like, "Steve, you're a smart kid. You're a fun kid, but your friendships aren't sticking and your grades are not good. What's wrong?" And I love that he was interrogatory about it rather than accusatory. I really appreciated that. He said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Dad." And he asked it in a way where I really felt open and okay to be vulnerable with him. I said, "Dad, I don't know. I really don't." And that was the honest answer. "I don't know. I look around and everybody is focused on the teacher. And all I feel like doing is getting up, running around and slapping somebody."
That's right.
Really, I still feel like most of the time, you know? And he was kind of like so puzzled by that because he had never experienced what I was talking about. So he took me to a psychiatrist. He was a medical doctor himself. Traditionalism, you know, I think of Tevye, you know, tradition. Without tradition, our life would be like a fiddler on the roof. You know, I mean, that's kind of the way he approached life. So he took me to a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist ran some tests, diagnosed me with ADHD, something I'd never heard about. And I remember distinctly this part of the story I never have told, Camden. I hid in a closet before this appointment. I was so scared and frightened. I didn't know what this was all about. So my dad had to, you know, he didn't wrangle me out of the closet, but he found me in the closet. I'm sitting there and hunched in a ball, sort of just have some tears in my eyes. Like, why are we doing this? Why do I have to go to this man? And he's like, "Please just come with me, for me, do this for me," you know? And I said, "Okay." And so he took me in, and I remember the very first thing the psychiatrist did, I'll still never forget this. He's like, "Let me see your hands." And I was like, "What do you mean see my hands?" And I had to stand up and I showed him my hands. My hands are just shaking. And then he runs some other tests. He diagnosed me with ADHD, as I mentioned. And I remember walking out of that office in tears because I thought it meant, I thought ADHD was another way of saying you're broken. And you, the reason why your grades are low and you can't retain friendships is because you have no hope ever accomplishing either one of those. And it was devastating. And then I'm handed a bottle of pills. And my brother, who I didn't have a very good friendship with at the time, we're best friends. We love each other now, and it's taken some time to get there. It was an Irish twin, Camden, so less than a year older than a
Those are
brother.
my two daughters. My oldest
Okay.
daughters are Irish twins.
Tricky. It could be a
Yes,
tricky
it
thing,
is.
especially when my brother was so accomplished and good at everything, well-liked, so many things. So I resented him in a lot of ways. But one of the things he would tell me is when I would get hyperactive and annoying, he'd say, "Go take your pill." So offensive at the time. I mean, right now, I'm like, oh, for heaven's sakes, and I'd blow it off and roll my eyes. But at the time, I'd cry. Like it was a big offensive thing for me. And so I was like, okay, I have to take a pill to be like everyone else. So I would go to school, and I tell you this out of vulnerability. Please do not take this as something that you or your children should ever do. But I'm telling you my story and I'm being transparent.
Please do. That's why we're here.
I took my pills to school. I took a pill every day to school, and I would throw it away in the garbage at lunchtime because I was so upset that somebody would impose this prescriptive treatment upon me. The one thing that it did, though, is it convinced me that if my dad was worried enough about me to give me a bottle of pills and take me to this guy that was super scary, that made me show my hands to him, the shaking, that I needed to figure something out. And I took it upon myself to figure out how I could turn this into something that was good. And around this time, I was just coming into a relationship with God. That has been a journey for me. I feel like I'm in a much better place now than I was back then. I grew up in a culture that was transactional to a certain extent. You know, you do this, God gives you that. And I also grew up in a culture that was repentance is for bad people and people that do bad things. So I didn't understand repentance. And I also grew up in a culture that was high expectations, but sometimes not love or explanation along with those expectations. So I didn't understand what Jesus says in John 14. He's like, look, I'm telling you these things so you can have a fullness of joy, not because schoolmaster imposing rules upon a classroom.
Not
I'm
to
trying.
be a people pleaser.
Yeah, exactly. And that's part of our cross that we bear. As I was growing into this relationship, I understood that God, perhaps God, there was a purpose in this that was meaningful for me to have this and that was a good thing. It could be a good thing. And so I prayed for help. It was one of the earliest prayers I've ever said. I prayed for help. And I found this catalyst and the way to channel this incredible superpower that I had through music. Music was my Ritalin. Music was my treatment. Music was my saving grace. And I would expand that and to say that creativity might have been even more so than music itself because I just loved creating. It was an outlet. It was a way to channel. I could hyper focus. I was like, 4 hours just went by and I just did the coolest stuff and I didn't ever squirm and I didn't ever poke anybody. And I was like, what just happened? And I was so excited. I was tapping into this hyper focus thing, body doubling, even though I didn't understand it back then. But I learned if I was in a room with someone productive, I could start working more. And, you know, so I was just picking up these little things before we even talked about them.
Unbelievable. I
I
love
really
it.
believe that that was God helping me. How else could a kid at that age have ever discovered any of these things? I was the furthest thing from social science. And ADHD was misunderstood. It was truly a disorder back then, where now we understand it as something entirely different and very positive.
I was reading in First Nephi. Nephi came up against some really hard things in his life. And unlike his brothers, in those trials, he took it to the Lord. And I see that here with you. And the Lord then softened his heart and helped him see his plan for him. And I love that parallel right now in hearing your story, that this was something extremely difficult. And that I don't know if it was because of your goodly parents or whatever it may have been, but that you took it to the Lord, that he showed you a way, he softened your heart, and then showed you creativity and hyper focus and what you could be. I couldn't go without mentioning that specifically on this podcast because it is something, it's a true principle that when we go to the Lord with our challenges and soften, allow him to soften our hearts, good things happen.
Thanks for that insight. It reminds me of one of the greatest scriptures ever written, Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It was that was what I was doing. And anybody out there with ADHD or children with ADHD, especially if you have a child with ADHD, get on your knees next to your child and pray for them. Pray over them. Pray how grateful you are that they are creative and built to create great things. And pray that they can find a way to turn the burden side over to Jesus and keep the gift side for themselves and to be able to grow that. This is the secret of turning a weakness into strength. Ether, we're talking Ether 12:27, which is a great ADHD scripture for us.
Yeah.
It's, first of all, it causes humility in us, which is very important. When we're prideful, ADHD gets kicked into high gear. It spins out of control.
We can't stay in our head, can we?
We strive for humility, and it actually really empowers us, ironically. And the secret of turning that weakness into strength is turning it over to God and saying, will you show me how this is part of the work that I have, that you have for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of us has a work that we have to do that nobody else can do. We need to recognize that and sit in that for a little while and understand how impactful and how profound that is. Camden has a work that Steve can't do, and vice versa. I cannot do the work God has for me to do without ADHD. I can't.
He knows your brain. He knows the brain you were created with, right? Yeah. And he knows the tools, the hard, the bad, the superpower, the kryptonite. He understands them all. It's a beautiful point you're bringing. And we forget that sometimes. We think, oh, we're flawed, or we have a challenge, or what that is. And what you're saying is so beautiful. It really bears witness of us being created by divinity.
That's beautifully said. As a parent with someone, I have children with ADHD tendencies. I'm very proud of that. And I'm excited for them. And one rule that we have in our house is that ADHD can never be an excuse. It can't be an excuse. That's a rule for me. It's a rule for my kids. They can't say, oh, I forgot that, or I didn't do that, or I can't do that. That's words that we don't say in our house. I can't do that because of ADHD. I said, nope, doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way.
There's so much good still to come with Stephen Sharp Nelson. We're going to take a quick break, then come right back to the episode. Have you ever felt trapped in ADHD's maze of life despite getting your support, despite getting a diagnosis? I totally get it, because in 2019, my burnout led to my ADHD diagnosis. And that diagnosis led me to a community, and it honestly felt like a divine gift. Hiring an ADHD coach transformed everything for me. Now, as a certified ADHD coach myself, I am so thrilled to introduce Mindful to you. Whether you're starting or seasoned on your ADHD journey, Mindful is your coaching home. Join us for a transformative month or more, embracing growth without shame or guilt. At Mindful, we explore truths, emotions, deep questions, fostering genuine growth. Find peace and community among fellow ADHD individuals. We have 2 calls a week and an education call monthly. All the calls are recorded and nothing is actually mandatory. You'll also receive text reminders. I set up this platform with ADHD and you in mind. Your journey begins at CamdenADHDCoaching.com/mindful. Mindful, where your self-discovery takes flight.
So that's one thing that you can encourage your child with, is just to say, okay, it's not an excuse, it's a gift. But that gift, explain it to them as an investment in themselves. That gift has a tremendous income that can be offset by expenses. But if we channel it, our income so far exceeds our expenses that our outcomes are incredible.
Mm.
So it's a net gain. This or that. It's not a situation where it's either you have it all or you don't have any. It really is a net gain. This is one of my favorite talks ever given in our church, was net faith.
Mm.
I wish I had the reference specifically, but if you look up net faith, you can find it. I always thought faith and fear cannot coexist. I was raised in this culture that if you have any fear, your faith is moot. And I was like, oh, thanks for that. You know, I tell you, ADHD, if you use definitives and ultimatums like never, and always, it's a nightmare for us.
Yeah.
So what's the problem with the gospel sometimes, or excuse me, not the gospel, the culture in which we've created around the gospel is we'll create perfectionism and definitive words like always and never and
black and white.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, so for me, it was so good to say, well, if I can have net faith, which is I'll have a little fear once in a while, it'll creep in, but my faith can overcome that.
Beautiful.
And I could build my faith so that it's more than my fear, and then I can have a net gain. ADHD is the same way. It's about building the gift side and the superpower side of ADHD so it far outweighs the cost, because there is a cost. Let's not.
Yes, there is.
There's a tremendous cost, but I love investing. I was in my background's actually in venture capital before I was.
I saw that. So and, interesting. It's very ADHD of you, actually.
My vocation spells the letters ADHD. It's all over it. And I love investing because it is about net gain. Any investor that goes in and gets emotionally upset over losses or thinks he or she can avoid them altogether will fall, crash, and burn and never recover.
Mm.
When you're investing in something, you understand this is about net gain. If I'm $51 of gain and $49 in loss, that's a success.
It's gain.
Good. It's gain.
Yeah.
So with your kids, remind them of that. We're looking for that net gain. Pray with them and then celebrate, rejoice so much in those net gains. But then also find a way as a parent, and this is for yourself too, if you have this gift, find a way to use visual analogies with your children. I was working with one child in particular. I love mentoring kids with this superpower because I just feel like I'm in my
You
meat.
get it. You get it. Yeah.
Boy, and I was like, well, he loves cars. And I was like, oh, you love cars, don't you? Yeah. Well, do you know you're a Ferrari? And he's like, what? And I said, there are all kinds of cars in this world and they're all different. And I'm so grateful there are different kinds of cars, but you are a very fast sports car. So that when you sit in school, and he was getting a lot of flack from his teacher at this time because his teacher was so frustrated with him. When you're sitting in class, you want to go fast. You want to put that pedal to the metal, but it's not an appropriate place to do it. You're not on a racetrack. You're in a parking lot. Well, let's talk about when you're on the racetrack, when you can do that, when you're in a parking lot, and how we decide. But don't be upset at yourself that you are a cool sports car. And we looked up pictures and I'm like, which car is you? You know, and we got visual about it. He put a big picture on his wall of what that car looks like. And it just was this fun way of putting a positive spin on
Totally.
this incredible gift that he has.
That's amazing. I love that. And it became consumable. It became real for him that way. And I contrast that with the way that you felt at the psychiatrist office, where you were just like, who is this scary person? What is this diagnosis? What are these pills? Imagine yourself at that age getting this advice, or your parent getting this advice, bless their hearts. Like, that is the contrast. It's not the diagnosis, in my opinion, that needs to be scary. It's what we do to nourish and care for and help a child or an adult through that process and let them know there is hope, opposite of what you may have felt when you came out of that office.
Love that. Great, great awareness there. Thank you.
So I'm curious about this duality that you're talking about, this fear and this faith, or this uncomfortable emotion with some more exciting emotions on the side. Has that played a part in your profession as a musician, as a parent? What do you have to say about that?
Absolutely. All the above. 100%. Fear is such an incredibly powerful emotion. And it, if you look at Arthur Brooks' works, he talks about how there are six basic emotions that we have. Arthur Brooks is a Christian social scientist. If you don't know his work, he's awesome. I really appreciate his work. He talked about how four of our six emotions are negative. And this is interesting. It's an interesting point because he says this isn't some grand design to throw us more towards negativity than positivity. No, it's actual personal safety. The negative emotions that we have are surrounding our ability to keep ourselves safe. And so that's why we need more of them. The problem is, this is where the natural man, 319, Mosiah 319, is problematic. That if we give ourselves over to those four of six emotions, we find ourselves in this undertow of negativity and rumination and overthinking and negative self-talk, which is so fear-inducing and
totally
worry-inducing and faith-depleting and energy depleting. So we've got to recognize that those negative emotions have their purpose, but we have to take command of our mind and decide where we live. What I have found, Camden, in this, two things. One, first, is that positive affirmations are garbage for me. They don't work. They may work for some people. I'm not going to disparage them too much. But if I look in the mirror and I say, "You're a handsome guy," look, I'm laughing. Oh my gosh, man, you're buff. You know, you're strong. But I left the premortal life. All the angels kind of looked at me and they're like, "Good luck. We've seen what you have to work with. I'd recommend cello." I mean, look in the mirror and say something that I don't truly internally believe. I think that for some reason, some people that would work. For my brain, it doesn't. But I have found that my motivation fluctuates and swings as the heaviest pendulum you could find in the universe.
Oh, that dysregulation of our prefrontal cortex.
Exactly, right? It's the mad scientist problem. Our swings of emotion are so tumultuous and prone to vicissitude that we find ourselves in such frustrating situations. But isn't it wonderful that we can ride highs so high?
Absolutely is. Yeah, I would give that a second cosine.
I've determined this is the problem, is motivation. You just mentioned it earlier, Camden. It's the start task problem that we have, right? Frontal issue, the executive function, the starting of the task. Once we're in it, once we're hyper-focused, man, we're good. But getting started is like, boy, it's like pulling a starter cable on an old lawnmower with bad gas in it. I mean, it is so frustrating and elbow and arm destroying. And so this is what I've discovered. When motivation is lacking, turn instead to discipline. It's something that you can actually really develop that's so fulfilling and something you can control more than motivation, in my opinion, because honestly, motivation could be depleted just because you had a bad night's sleep or a donut before you went to bed, or somebody said something negative to you or somebody cut you off on the road, whatever it is. Self-discipline is something you could truly control. But this is the cool part. When you're engaged in discipline, you can look at yourself in the mirror. And I say to myself, I am so tired of this, you know, let's go with belly fat. You know, this is a big deal, that belly fat. Positive affirmation would be, you're beautiful. Okay, fine. That may work for some people. But me, I look at myself and I say, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. And the negative feeling hovers its head in shame and walks away. The negative thought can't have any prowess or power over me because I'm working on it.
Right.
I'm working on it. And I say, enjoy it while it lasts, because you're going to be gone in a matter of time. But so I've found that when my motivation is low, I kick into high gear on my discipline.
Beautiful.
And this means Yasha Heifetz was one of the greatest violinists ever in the history of the world. He was so good that he could do more staccato with one single bow stroke than anybody else. And let me explain what that means for us that don't understand the mechanics of string instrument. Normally, staccato is where you bounce the bow on the string. So instead of a legato stroke, which is it's and you could get so fast at this going back and forth. But what he did is he would do a single bow stroke and go with like in the same direction. I still to this day don't know how he did it.
Wow.
But I love what he said. You know, he said, I practice. Somebody asked him about practicing. Do you ever miss a day? You know, okay, this is sort of the discipline argument, right? He says, yes. If I miss one day, I know it. If I miss 2 days, critics know it. If I miss 3 days, everybody knows it.
Hmm.
So what he's saying is, one day it's between you and the thing you're trying to discipline yourself in. That's fine. 2 days, the people that are closest to you and know you best can start to sense something. 3 days, that's when it's starting to leak out into your public general life and everything that you're trying to accomplish. Cut yourself some slack. There's going to be missed days, but if you get to the 2 or 3 days, you've got to do everything you can to get back on track.
That's awesome. I heard a reframe of expectations in that as well. When you were only focused on that I'm beautiful, or I'm beautiful the way that I am, or handsome, whatever, right? And then you took the focus off of beauty being the expectation and the goal, and what became the goal. the goal became progress,
Yes.
you know? And with that 1 day, 2 day, 3 day thing as well, it might not be days, it might be hours or months or occurrences or visits, whatever it might be. But when we are truly judging ourselves on what we value most, then all of a sudden, I think the motivation does increase, which is helpful. It's not necessary, but the discipline is the result of that because we are now aligned with something that we actually care about.
Wow.
And everything with ADHD is about how we feel, is about what we want, is about, you know, we're very, very motivated by that dopamine.
That alignment is so insightful. It reminded me of a scripture in Alma that talks about how this cycle of pride, and they were at the crest of this cycle, and it was this people that was perpetually unhappy. And the commentator, most likely Mormon at the time, said they were contrary to the nature of happiness. Because they were contrary to the nature of God. When we find ourselves out of alignment and contrary to the nature of God, we are contrary to the nature of happiness because it's the same thing. So if you are feeling perpetually unhappy, and I don't mean just a little bit here and there, that just is part of life, perpetually unhappy, analyze where you might be out of alignment with your divine being, the divinity in you. And most likely, this is a case of you are in conflict with something you know you're supposed to be doing and aren't, or you're doing something you know you shouldn't be doing. And then also, you're not creating, you're not progressing, you're stagnant. You just mentioned, I love that. Progression is my ultimate motivation in and of itself, intrinsically, because it's who I'm built to be. It's who we all are built to be. God is a being of eternal progression and creativity. If we are striving for progression and creativity, the speed bumps will be small and insignificant, and we can get over them without too much angst. So that would be my advice too, is if perpetual unhappiness seems to be striking you constantly, especially as our minds are all over the place, analyze where you are in relationship to your alignment with the divine nature in you. And for me, that's attributes of there's obvious ones of love and compassion and patience, long suffering, Moroni 7:45. You can go through all those if you want. It seems overwhelming to me right now, even to say that. But for me, I identify, am I being creative? Am I creating something? And I don't mean a music. It could be anything. It could be creating a better relationship with somebody. It could create potential in others. It could be visual art, musical art, it could be writing, it could be poetry, it could be walking in nature and discovering the beauty of it. There's so many ways of creating, but are you creating enough? Especially if you're ADHD, creativity is so much of your fuel tank, so much of your.
It so is. I think this is a beautiful segue into church service, into church callings, because what is church service there for? It is to help us progress. It is to help us support one another. It is to help the kingdom of God be developed on earth in preparation for what it might look like later, right? It is the way by which we progress here with a good support system. And so often we get so narrow in our viewpoint as to how the fulfillment of that creativity has to look based upon maybe what's been modeled or, you know, what our neighbor did or our parents did, how they fulfilled their callings. Expecting it to look different for each person because we're all individuals is not always a bad thing. And I'm curious in your church service and your testimony, if you have seen that creative element of you magnify your calling in a way that was meant for Stephen, and the people that associate with him.
Well, first, we have to understand that the church is scaffolding.
Right. I love that. I
To be
love that
talking about,
parallel.
it was actually a real good paradigm shift for me. We just did a remodel on our house. Was the scaffolding necessary? 100%. But how much time did we spend on dressing up the scaffolding and making it pretty or getting it perfect? You know, I mean, it would have been a waste of time and money. Scaffolding was in order to build the house better. And church's scaffolding for our relationships with Jesus Christ and our families. That's what it's scaffolding for. Let me also bring another parallel in. Is the atonement of our Savior Jesus Christ chains or wings for you? Here's how you can tell. If you feel like church is a burden, then it's not working for you. And first of all, give yourself some grace. A lot of us have felt that way. So please don't shame yourself. Think about it in this context. You're carrying a heavy backpack. There's a lot of weight in it. And there was this famous Christian theologian that just said, eventually you're going to want to put that backpack down. But tradition suggests that you pick it back up again and you soldier through. But eventually you'll be so sick and tired of it that you'll want nothing to do with it. You give that pack over to Jesus, then all of a sudden his atoning power and the reason for his life and death means something and is working for you. And how you do that, honestly, is up to you. It's very personal, but you can start by praying and ask him to take it from you, especially your worries and your fears, right? But once you learn that you don't carry religion in a backpack, it carries you.
Mm.
Then life should change for you. And the gospel is a gospel of good things to come, not dread. So analyze where you are in your relationship with the Savior. Are you giving him, like he's asked you to cast your burdens upon him and he'll give you rest, right? Are you doing that? Are you taking him up on his promises? Or are you insisting on carrying that heavy load and that heavy backpack? And he says, this Christian theologian says, you know why I can tell a Christian? And there's lots of ways of saying this. Obviously, if we love one another, there's great things like that. But he says, I can tell them by their buoyancy. I love that word. Because awesome. We have found that when we get heavy weight, sometimes we'll have to carry it a little bit. But when we're yoked with Christ, he's carrying most of it. Most of it. He gives us just enough to develop our spiritual muscles, but he takes plenty of us for us to recognize his hand in our lives, develop a beautiful dependency on him. And the word of all words in the gospel of Jesus Christ, trust. And if you have a hard time trusting, and I please say to you, you're not alone. I have major trust issues. I have seen things so despondent and failure-oriented in my life. I have fallen on my face then so many times that you would never imagine how many times I have, that I've developed trust issues, and the adversary has used that to leverage that against me. So some days I just hope so hard that it feels like trust. If you can't trust, hope. If you can't even hope, issue a one-word prayer. This is what I usually do. If I get so deep and dark into depression and overthinking, I just say help, help, help over and over and over again. And then I listen for ideas that come to me and I pursue those ideas. And I have lots of stories about how it pulled me out.
We'll take a quick break here and then come back with Stephen Sharp Nelson. We've established that melatonin supplements are not very helpful for our hormones long-term, especially for our kids and teens. Obviously, our number one goal is to help our body function at its optimal performance. Sunset is a supplement I've been taking over the years. It is an omega-3 supplement with really powerful tocotrienols. This helps with inflammation as well as heart health, and it's something I can highly recommend for sleep. But sometimes we just need the help right away. I've told you the story about my daughter at 3 years old getting on prescription medication so that she and I could finally get some sleep and the difference that that made. I can now introduce you to a non-medication treatment that also has proven very beneficial for many people. Kids Calm is a melatonin-free, delicious fruit gummy. There's a triple threat of calmness here for your kiddos and teens. We've got Mazenol, magnesium, and 5-hydroxytryptophan. This will support them in their serotonin levels and put them into a lovely, serene slumber. Lastly, for us adults trying to get to that baseline sleep, I would recommend Sleep Plus. This is a natural supplement taken from non-GMO corn that encourages melatonin production naturally in our body. It's been clinically shown to improve our sleep quality, help us sleep deeper, fall asleep faster, and enjoy a more rejuvenating REM and deep sleep. I will link all of these products below. You'll get $10 off your initial first orders of each product that you order that's new. Feel free to check out the supplements for yourself, read more about them, or just hop right into the shopping cart and add or delete as you would like, personalized for your family needs. If you have any questions, feel free to DM me or send me an email at info@CamdenADHDCoaching.com. Back to the show.
But remember the net gate. We talked about this fear and faith, right? One of my favorite things, I love how when Nephi says, the Lord speaks to us according to our language. We assume that this is, you know, our native language, English,
English.
Spanish. No, it's way deeper than that. The Lord talks to me according to how I communicate, which is a lot of humor. He uses a lot of humor with me. I remember one instance in particular, we were getting going in Piano Guys. That was, the momentum was so meteoric. And we kept getting asked the same question, Camden, over and over again. It was, how are you going to keep this up? You know, what's
can't you celebrate with me now?
Yeah, exactly. But that was always what we saw in YouTube videos too. It's like, oh, this is great. What are you going to do next? You know, when's your next? Do this or do that. You know, it was never a present celebration. It was always a future dread of what do you. So I had this fear grip me, and I couldn't chase it away because I didn't understand the discipline thing that we just talked about. So I ruminated, I overthought of it, and I just said, what if I wake up tomorrow a total dud? And I don't have any more ideas. I am nothing. I was poring over this while I was vacuuming, which, by the way, is a great, great time to pray. I love praying while vacuuming. It's way
or the dishes.
Yeah,
those
the
are
dishes.
Great.
Fantastic,
yeah.
Right? Think celestial, right? Yeah, that's right. The dishes. So
celestial.
Yes.
Forgot.
So I'm vacuuming and I'm just pouring my heart out to God. Just do it. Just talk to Him. You know, just say, "Oh my gosh, I'm so worried about this. I'm going to wake up a dud tomorrow." And I get this very warm, powerful, frame-shaking yet peaceful voice that speaks according to my language that says, oh, my dear Stephen, don't worry. All the ideas are mine, except for the bad ones. Those are yours. I mean, it clear as day, that's how it came to me. And I laughed and I felt this lift. The burden on my back was passed over, and I just felt, why am I worried about this? Everything that I've done in my life that's been of any worth has been His anyway.
Beautiful.
Why do I insist on demanding such high expectations of myself other than simply trying to be more Christ-like? So that was a really good moment for me. And that's when faith can overcome fear, is when we trust and recognize, hey, I'm not alone in this. I'm not alone. I just have to wake up and show up, and He can lift us up.
Thank you. I know that we've been talking a lot about emotions. We've been talking about motivation and persistence and discipline and the atonement. And I really just want to highlight why this can be so relevant and why you're talking about it with an ADHD audience is because, as you all know, listening, our brain produces a lot of thoughts. So if it's one doubt for a neurotypical, I would say it's 100 doubts for, you know, an ADHD brain. And the way that we do the dot to dot thing and how we can ping pong ball all the way around and start making connections, it can be overwhelming for us. And I love what you just said, Stephen, as you said, to remember that God made you. God knows your brain, and God has the thoughts to start with. And so that path God can also put in front of you when we turn to Him and when we rely upon Him and upon Jesus Christ. What peace happens, you know, when we trust that He truly knows our full story with our busy brains. It is amazing.
I love that. Let's talk about some church hacks.
Please.
For
yes, please.
First of all, one is showing up. Give yourself grace for that. Honestly, there were some times in my life when I had young kids and we roamed the halls. I mean, showing up was enough. It was enough. Sometimes if all you could do is show up, it's enough. Number two, if you are not saying the sacrament prayer very quietly out loud as it's being said, you need to start doing that. Because I always am very grateful for the second sacrament. I call it the second sacrament when one of our good young men has to say it over and it's so embarrassing. Every time I go up and I give him a big hug and I say, thank you for saying that twice for me, because I usually need that. But I saw my sister-in-law, who is such a wonderful mother. I saw her with her children on her lap, and she would whisper the sacrament prayer at the same time it was being said in her child's ear. And her child would pay so much more attention as a result of that. It was a sweet, quiet whisper, not like a, you better sit still. That's not what I mean.
Right.
But I started doing this with my kids and it helped me focused. It helped them focus. But this was the funniest part. We get to the closing prayer and the person starts saying the prayer and my little daughter, Annie, elbows me and says, okay, do it. So she wanted me to say his prayer at the same time he was saying,
right? Like, it's not the same.
I can't do that. I'm not that precious. But that was a funny moment. But that's a life or church hack number one is say the sacrament prayer out loud, very, very softly under your breath as it's being said. Because otherwise, if you're like me, I get three words in and I'm gone.
Yeah.
Now, church hack number two, out loud prayers.
I think we're number three. You had a really good first one.
Right.
We're on two. Now we're on three.
No, I don't even take executive function. Third is, I love how Joseph Smith, the first vision, he said it was the first time he said a prayer out loud.
Mm.
I think there's such significance in that. So when I get to my office, I do habit stacking, you know, Atomic Habits,
mm-hmm.
James Clear. It's a great
right.
book, very good for ADHD minds. I would recommend that read. He talks about stacking your habits that you're trying to build on existing ones that have been there forever. And also doing hold back habits, which basically are, I don't touch my phone in the morning till I've said a prayer.
Mm.
And then when I go into my studio, I actually do not log on to my studio computer until I've said an out loud prayer and until I've read the Book of Mormon. I will tell you, creative minds out there, the Book of Mormon is the best path to creativity out there. I'm not talking about the words themselves. There is power in that book that if I read it, I am far more creative and better at time management that day. I call it the 2-hour power. Even though my day is already scattered and I'm already behind, I say an out loud prayer on my knees in my room with my door shut, my office. It's weird at first. If it's weird at first, you're doing it right. Okay. and you say an out loud prayer, then you dig into the Book of Mormon. I don't care if you read one verse or 400 verses. Make it your conversation starter with God. Have a conversation, write out your thoughts. But the best part about this is at the end, you ask God, you say, can you please make my 1 hour into two today? Because you know me and you know that it takes me a little longer sometimes to get things done. I have a lot of practicing to do. I'll tell him, I'm going to practice for an hour. Could you make that into two or three? And I find that that prayer is relatively faithless if I haven't put him first to begin with. And this isn't transactional. It doesn't mean I'm going to read the Book of Mormon so that you give me this. No, it's more putting ourselves in the frame of mind where we're divinely attached and appointed in the way that we can use time better than the natural human mind can.
You talked about the language that God knows in you,
yeah,
and God speaks to you that same way. I feel like that's the effort maybe that we can put to make our language the same as God's, you know, to like ready ourselves, to prime the pump, if you will, a little bit for the prayer and for the receiving of those blessings, is just being able to recognize it, speaking the same language. I'm loving this. This is great. What else do you got?
Well, so that in the Book of Mormon reading, I found that I'm doing a verse by verse, which is, I mean, wow. I mean, that just sounds like an ADHD nightmare, except for it actually is the other way. I'll do one or two verses and then I'll just highlight a thing that sticks out to me, a phrase. I'll highlight it in the Gospel Library app, and then I'll just go. I'll type, start typing. And a first paragraph's garbage. Second paragraph's passable. Third paragraph is profound. When I say what Elder Scott suggests that we do, what did he say? You then ask, is there more? I have found that I have remembered experiences in my life, miracles, funny stories, and I type them out and all of a sudden they become part of my canon as I'm talking to others, as I'm doing keynote speeches, as I'm writing the books I'm writing. They're becoming part of the fabric of my personal parables. And the Book of Mormon opens that conversation with God, and he has so much to say to you. He has so much to say to you. If you just read the Book of Mormon with the intent to make it a conversation starter, you will marvel at what it will do for you. And if you insist on reading the Book of Mormon before you create, I promise you it's going to enhance and catalyze your creativity. Next hack is recognize that ADHD is a spiritual gift not listed in the scriptures. There are many spiritual gifts not listed in the scriptures. ADHD is one of them. I call it attention, deliberate, hyper-focused discernment. That is what those letters mean to me.
Sweet.
I hate disorder.
Love it.
Word disorder. Attention, deliberate, hyper-focused discernment. And there's so much meaning in each of those four words that I just processed. So recognize that. Next life hack is, and I love this one. This is a term that I just use myself. I haven't read it anywhere, but because of the social science I've studied, I've kind of coalesced it into this term. I call it self-suggestibility. It's this wonderful gift. Have you ever played the game Telestrations?
I don't think so. Sounds like illustration and telephone at the same time.
Get that game right now. Go on Amazon.
Okay.
Buy it because it's such the ADHD brain on paper. I love it.
Okay,
but
cool.
It's telephone, the old game of telephone. You remember that where you'd whisper to your friend?
Yeah.
And then it'd get to the end and it's a funny misconstrual of the original phrase, right?
Oh, I have played this. Where
okay.
Like you fold the paper and I think I have played this actually
it's
in
kind of like
college.
that. It
Keep
actually
going.
has spiral bound dry erase boards.
Oh, okay.
And so you'll get a word and you'll draw that word. Then you'll pass that drawing to another person who has to interpret what drawing that is. So you'll go from like, you know, Humpty Dumpty to like school lunch. I mean, it's so far away, but the fun thing about it is to see at the end of the round, you show everybody where it
where it
started.
was. Yeah.
And we do not need this game to do this in our brains.
No.
And it can be frustrating, but here's the gift. It's self-suggestibility. This is the reason why I found success in mashing pop and classical music, because I've had these random thoughts that normally the prefrontal gatekeeper would have said, no, you're not related, but it's come in and I've been able to combine things that have never been combined before because I'm self-suggestible to random thoughts that are not usually allowed in a neurotypical brain. So that's a wonderful gift, but here's where you can even go. That's what I usually tell general audiences, but let's go deeper. Let's go deeper than that. Part of the process of growing and progressing in life is to learn, like you said, God's language, right? Be able to communicate with God, right? And that's the spirit. And it's promptings. There's a lot of promptings, right? I would suggest that because of this wonderful self-suggestibility that we're imbued with or we're endowed with, that we actually can entertain more out-of-the-box impressions than perhaps the neurotypical brain. This is what I mean. You're sitting somewhere and you have this random thought to help somebody. Everybody gets it. I'm not saying if you're not neurodivergent, you're not going to get it. However, how much more susceptible are we to random thoughts because of our gift of ADHD? And therefore, can the spirit get through to us with unrelated ideas and promptings more often? And I would say yes. And that's a wonderful thing to recognize. Wow, that's so cool that I just had this random thought to text my friend just at the right time with just the right words because of my gift of ADHD.
That's
Okay,
amazing.
have we got through all the church hacks that I'm thinking of? I'm trying to remember.
That was an incredible list. I'm impressed.
I'm in my fifth bishopric. You think I'd get it right by now? And
I think you have.
I still need more work, but I'm sitting on the stand and, you know, ADHD sitting on the stand is like, oh my gosh, people can tell I'm not focused. So I have determined that if you look up and you smile at the speaker, and you're not going to have a permagrin because your face will hurt and you'll feel funny, but once in a while when they say something, nod your head and react and smile. If you do that, it's incredible how much more focus that you can have. And if you don't have a little book of revelations carried in your pocket, you've got to do that. And for me, I like doing it on my phone just because I like, you know, tagging and referencing. But on the stand, if I'm on my phone, it looks like I'm texting. So I've got this little tiny book that I keep in my pocket. And here's the hack. Yes, take notes. Everybody's told you that. But take notes on what's not being said. Take notes on the subject may spark a conversation between you and God that is entirely unrelated. And because of your self-suggestibility, you're able to go off on a tangent with your Heavenly Father and have Him take you down a road He's been meaning to take you down to show you something wonderful and to prompt you on something that you're doing well or to prompt you on something that you could use a little work on out of love. And that's, so somebody's talking about, you know, faith or a general subject, and you're listening, you're nodding your head, and you're smiling. And then all of a sudden, a story comes to your mind of your life that happened. Start writing that down and then write what comes next. Then write what's come. You may have tuned out the speaker entirely, but I will tell you that the purpose of church is to establish a relationship with Jesus Christ that's much better, not to admire somebody's speaking skills. So don't be self-deprecating when you found yourself on a tangential conversation with God. It's meant to be that way. That's why you're at church.
I love it. It's so true. Thank you for keeping the center and the reality real. It is about Jesus Christ. I had someone reach out to me and ask me, how do you listen to people with ADHD just ramble and talk and keep going? And,
Question.
15 minutes later, how do you do that as a coach and not butt in? I'm like, well, sometimes I butt in, but how do you do that? And this principle that you were saying about the self-suggestibility, I think is what I have found is that if we can allow some space for ramblings and the engine to warm up a little bit,
Yeah.
that by the third paragraph, like you suggested, all of a sudden things become a lot more clear. And those are the things because we allowed ourselves in that process, because we allowed our ADHD mind to just go on fire in a positive direction, then the Lord shows us clarity and look at what it has built. It has built something that is very nonlinear a lot of the time. I love that you're calling attention to that for our teachers in the gospel as well, and for our personal scripture study, and for people that work with the youth. Things might look a little bit more like
Nonlinear.
a nonlinear effect, and that's okay. That, in fact, as you put it, is a beautiful way
Yeah.
to expose others to the gospel or to express your own feelings for the gospel. So thank you. It's awesome. Very, very relatable.
If everybody that was ADHD in the church gave talks and lessons that they would want to hear, we would transform. I was giving a
Agree.
lesson last night with the youth. And what was the, I didn't have very much time to prepare. And what is the typical response we have as human beings? We lock ourselves into tradition and culture and give the standard lecture. Do you know how effective that is for the youth? It is less effective than ever before. And it's becoming that way with adults now too. Our attention spans are slaves to social media skip and scrolling. We're a skip and scroll culture. I mean, there are people in your audience right now going like this to you, like wishing they could skip and scroll you, right? And now
Yep.
don't feel intimidated or awful because that's just kind of the way we are. However,
No.
if you were in that audience, how would you want someone to teach that lesson? So last night I asked myself that question. It's like C.S. Lewis. Why do you write the books you write? Somebody asked him. He says, well, I write the books I want to read. So when we invite people to speak in sacrament meeting, I invite them to give the talk they'd want to hear. Make it
Cool.
Christ-centered and personal, but give the talk they'd want to hear. So when you're presenting a lesson, and this was what I was doing last night. I did almost the whole thing was a visual object lesson with one scripture at the end and a personal story. I gave the object lesson I'd want to see. Yeah, I have this jar, this big, huge mason jar that's filled with wonderful, clear water. That's just beautiful. Water can be beautiful. And I say, this is the way we begin life. We're full of joy and purity and virtue and loveliness. Somebody says something to us that makes us feel like negative about ourselves, and then we incorporate a bad choice or a habit. And I'm pouring in little topsoil into this water, so it's kind of sitting on the surface of the water because of cohesion. And I say, at this point, we could probably spoon some of this out, and we're doing pretty well. But what happens in life and our brains? We stir things up. Things get stirred up, and I start stirring this topsoil, and pretty soon this water is a brown, mucky mess. And then I say, now if I start going in and trying to fix little things about my life, what am I doing? I'm actually taking more water out than I am dirt. And then I say, what if instead we focused on just pouring more living water in? And that's more Jesus. That means the conversation starters with our scripture reading, instead of just doing it to do it, make it a conversation start. That means saying the sacrament prayer out loud and trying to lock into that tangential journey with him while we're in the congregation. That means going to the temple. And as ADHD, temple's hard. It can be really hard. Go do initiatories or sealings more often than you do endowments. That's okay. That's totally okay. Just lock into how it works for you. And like President Nelson said, if it's not working, do more rather than less, and you'll find that it works out better. So I was telling them, and at this point, I took these pitchers of giant pitchers of water and I poured it into this jar. and the living water washed in and sprung up into like a well everlasting, like Jesus talks about, right? Whosoever I give this water to will never thirst, but it shall be a well springing up unto them. You know, I love this concept. Isaiah talks about how joy, we can have this well that springs up with joy. And I'm pouring these giant pitchers into this jar. And pretty soon, all the dirt washes out and the water stays and it's back to perfectly clear again. You may have negative thoughts about yourself, comparing yourself, trying to spoon out little problems in your life. Just pour in more goodness. Put in better media. Put in better friendships. Get more out loud prayers. Put in more scripture study and temple attendance. And if you just pour that in, you'll find that those little things that are bothering you and that are inhabiting your mind with negative self-talk will just go away. They'll just go away.
And they're going to remember that's one scripture that you shared.
I hope that does. And that's what I'm saying to ADHD.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm so grateful for you because you're the person I want to listen to when you give a talk or a lesson. If you tap into your superpower and understand.
Lean into it.
Lean into it. Don't scamper away. Lean into it so much that when I'm in the audience, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the best talk ever because it's resonating with me. I can relate to it. And it's written in a way where an ADHD mind can roll with it.
I love that. And I find that our creativity and our honesty and when we're working off of that aligned nature, that it's very attractive. It lights us up. And so people want to see the light of Christ in us when we are being who we are. Well, Stephen, this has been absolutely amazing. I'm just floored by your knowledge about your ADHD, in addition to all the other things that you've done in your life, really taking that upon yourself to learn your own ADHD, to have ownership over it, to understand how it works for you and challenges you so that you can make it work as an advantage. That takes so much time and effort. And I appreciate you and I thank you for sharing what you have learned with us today. Is there anything else as parting words that you'd like to bring up to our ADHD audience?
It gets better. And it gets so good that you'll find yourself at the top of this really big mountain and wonder how you got there. And it's putting one foot in front of the other on a pathway that he, your Savior, who knows you better than anyone else, puts under your feet. Just keep stepping and don't give up. When you don't feel motivation, focus on discipline and just showing up. And that's enough. That's enough. And when you have those moments of joy, live in them. Don't ever let past regrets or future worries crowd in on those moments. Revel in those beautiful present moments. And then the last thing I'd say to parents out there is when you are with your kids, the temptation that the adversary will throw at you is to stimulate your incredible mind with a phone that has everything possible at your fingertips to keep your mind active. Put your phone down and stare into your children's eyes as they tell you the most boring story on earth about the experience they had at school. It doesn't matter. When you stare into your children's eyes, you see the face of God and you see your purpose and you feel happy. And that is one challenge that I would warn you very much against, is the adversary will leverage your overactive mind in so many ways that you won't be present with your children and your family. Combat that by being present. And I've had so many moments where I've just teared up. I mean, I'm doing it right now. I've just teared up. And my daughter's talking about, you know, a cartoon that she was watching. And I'm sitting there tearing up. And she's like, Daddy, what's the matter with you? Why are you falling apart? It's because I just said, I love you so much. And I'm never going to have this moment again with you. And I'm just taking it in. And if you do that, it's just such a wonderful opportunity to use that hyper-focus in a way with your children that is so powerful. And the last thing I'd say is The best time that I've found with my children, I tour a lot and I'm missing a lot, and there's lots of things. And I ask Heavenly Father to help me make up those missing pieces. And He's done it in so many different ways. In fact, my son just got called to Korea on his mission, which is where I served. And I already feel like we're making up a lot of that miss, a lot of those missing pieces. They just drop into place because of this bond we now have. At the end of the day, you are tired. You are so fed up. And your mind has been going a million miles a minute because of your gift. Say a prayer in your heart, Heavenly Father, will you slow down my mind just enough and go into your child's bedroom and lay next to them and just let them talk. And your mind might wander, and that's okay. Just let them talk. And you'll find the most beautiful moments in your life will be these simple, just side-by-side moments with your children, where you'll find tremendous joy, and it will fuel you more than you could ever imagine, and it will build relationships with your children. When it's rocky in their life, they'll come back to you and want that same feeling they had as they just simply laid down and talked about whatever happened that day. Get good. Use your ADHD to be creative with your questions with your kids. Don't ever catch yourself saying, "How was your day?" You're better than that. You've got such a keen mind. You can say questions like, "What made you belly laugh today?" Or, "Tell me about your relationship with Cindy, that girl that you said you were playing on the playground with. Why do you like hanging out with her? What's she like?" Get creative with your questions, and you'll find this relationship building with your children, and it will enhance your relationship with your own heavenly parents, which is what we're after in this life too. And I promise you, as you engage your ADHD mind and all the things that I've talked about, you'll find yourself progressing to the point where stagnation is not on your plate. 1 hour will become two, and you'll find yourself in a relationship with Jesus that will give you wings rather than weigh you down.
Thank you so much for being here, Stephen. We appreciate you.
My pleasure. Thanks for letting me rant on and on and on, just like your ADHD clients do.
It's the best ever.
Thank
Being
you
on this side is the
for my
best.
thoughts laterally, just go left and right with them because it's so healthy. This has been a delight. I love your ministry. I know there's days that you love it. And I really appreciate people like you that are determined to convince people of their spiritual gifts.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. And thanks for re-emphasizing that time and time again today. It was a beautiful interview. Appreciate your time, and we wish you the very best of luck.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Busy Brained Saint podcast. If you're eager to explore the world of ADHD coaching, make sure to connect with me on Instagram at Camden_ADHD or visit my website, CamdenADHDCoaching.com. For more LDS-specific ADHD content, don't forget to follow this podcast and join us on Instagram at The Busy Brained Saint. Listen, I'm here to support you on your journey. I cannot wait to have you as a part of our community. Stay engaged, stay inspired, and remember, you're not alone here. Thanks for being a part of the Busy Brained Saint family.